Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 14th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie.
Good morning, how are you doing, Brian? Bud? I'm doing okay.
Good. No brush fires yet.
Nothing this morning.
Good.
You know, yeah.
I guess I'm just kind of foreshadowing a little
bit. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, man. Do we want a proverb today? I don't think so. I like this one. Great men like nature use simple language.
There you go.
That's fun. So, a couple of grass fires, eh?
Yeah, we've been seeing some stuff popping up. It's that time of year. Everything's drying out.
Are these campfires that the homeless are setting and get away? Are these intentional? Are these folks going out for a hot dog barbecue out on the beach and things going crazy?
It's kind of seeing a blend. We've had a few of them down around the end of V Street, foot of T Street here in the last few days. A couple of those tied in with homeless encampments.
So those spots behind the Red Lion and going towards the bay.
You get down there toward the bay. And then like yesterday, the crew was out on one along the railroad tracks down behind the Bayshore Mall. And that one looked like potentially tied with some homeless activity right out next to the bay.
When you show up to those types of events, is it as gooey and squishy as the responses used to be in the areas that have been cleaned out? Or is this, by transient,
right?
For me, definitionally, that means people are on the move,
right?
Encamped.
And that's you see the blend of it. The one yesterday that was down on the railroad tracks, while there weren't any what looked like formal camps with tents, there were people that you can tell are coming there into the grass maybe at night, and then leaving. They're as foot traffic starts on the trails, they're coming and going. And whereas down there, like off the foot of T Street, a couple of those fires have come right out of camps where somebody's setting up a tent.
So as you guys are responding to those situations, is it different than a grass fire? Let's say not to set anything up here.
Right.
But let's say out by Winship.
Mm-hmm. Those
types of things where it's
you're going into it the same. You've got a dispatch for a vegetation fire or a brush fire. One of the things that ties in with it, if it's an area where you've had homelessness or you've had issues before, it jumps into your mind too. Are we going to have either people in the area, or is there the possibility we got somebody that's passed out in the path that, you know, now you've got people that could be in harm's way right adjacent to the fire? And we've seen through the years a few people in some of the camps that have perished because of it.
So it's just each one's a little different, but you still are able to kind of, I'm going to use the word that many in government don't like, you kind of profile what you're anticipating as you're rolling on sign.
You know, when you get there, you might be dealing with a camp. It might be just a grass fire.
It might just be a grass fire. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Billy, looking at some of the different things that are out there since we got together last, a couple of commercial fires
right,
that I would imagine get your heart going pitter-patter.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more than some other types of responses.
Definitely.
Are you seeing any consistency, any trends, anything along those lines that's giving you pause for concern?
You know, right now with what we've seen the last couple, we're not necessarily seeing what appears to be a pattern between incidents. You know, most recently we had the fire down on 4th Street, and which was definitely tragic for a couple of business owners that were either in process of moving or were moving that week, because they were going out of those spaces and headed toward other locations. you know, we've still got folks that are working on that fire in regards to the ongoing investigation.
Is that why the site hasn't been cleared out?
The clear out on the site will be tied in with insurance and with the property owners that own the locations, actually two property sites. And so that will come as they get their insurance and payouts for that. You know, I haven't heard what their timeline is yet. The unfortunate side with the amount of damage, there was nothing that could be done. There was one business location on the far west end that, if it was a freestanding building, might have been able to have stayed up. The unfortunate side where it was Lost Coast Tile, and where one of the print shops for sports type uniforms, those were both one building that was tied together. All the roof was tied together. So when the damaged portion of that started coming down, everything started coming down.
When that gets rebuilt,
mm-hmm.
Now it's Coastal Zone.
That one's just outside of it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think if I
recall
correctly.
So you guys are then the primary permitter.
Yeah, the city of Eureka will be, and then you know, the fire department will look at plan review on what's proposed when that comes in.
So that's one of, I would imagine, the first constructions in the marijuana processing area.
Potentially.
New construction. Yeah,
potentially,
that's why they
were
being moved out. Give me a break.
Yep, we know it.
So as you're looking at this, is it going to make their construction, permitting, process, et cetera, easier? Because it's new, and now you've got that usage, and you've got that mindset and that perspective for the sprinkling and all the plumbing and all that stuff? Or is it more difficult because it's not an existing and you don't know what it is yet?
Right. Depending on what use they have planned, when they turn in plans, they've got to be able to declare what the use of the building will be. Because that drives a lot of the systems because of the occupant type. You know, if it was a location that was going into residential, boom, you go right down essentially the residential checklist of what you're looking at. In this case, they're obviously commercial, but depending on what the permitted use is that they're proposing or that they're going to take in there, that will drive some of the construction requirements.
Well, that's why I was was kind of pushing a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't have a punch list for marijuana processing. You're kind of creating on the fly.
You don't, but yet you do.
Really?
Because the building code and the fire code, they talk about occupant types. So say if a location did want to go in with some sort of extraction, volatile extraction, say, you know, using something other than CO2. They were going to go in with butane or something like that. Then you go into portions of the code that deal with hazard occupancies and what that construction type is. The type of material then has to go under the plumbing code because you've got the piped gases, very much like what regulates a service station or a facility that's using a lot of gas or fluid. You've got to put that all in by code. So you've got components in place just by nature of the fire and the building code.
So you just kind of grab a little from here, a little from there. And is that the starter list, or is that fait accompli and you just relabel this particular unique combination of goodies.
Right. It's the overall list that's code in the state of California. And, you know, you look at it and say, okay, what are they doing there? What are they storing there? And that drives the type of occupancy.
So California drives, City of Eureka does not?
The City of Eureka, the fire department, the city building department, they adopt the California code standards, and then they have the ability to add more stringent codes if certain parameters, you know, the environmental, the geologic, the situation that we have here drives it or dictates, we can go more stringent. We can't go less stringent.
So if you want to choke business out, you can.
In theory.
Beyond what the state of California is doing to try
right.
to choke out business.
Right.
How much is driven by legal constraints or legal concerns, liability for the city?
You know, you've got to go through with that and look at what you're looking at, and now it's a legal entity. It's a legal business.
It's also 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Gillespie, Humboldt Bay Fire Chief. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, Billy, is things have changed. You know, we were talking about the marijuana stuff. Obviously, that's a big change. Fire guys responding to medical aids is another big change. Yesterday, I spent a couple minutes over at the cemetery and saw... Saw one of your big boy medical trucks. It's like, okay, cool. It's out. It's doing what it was purchased for. Good. Are there
running the calls?
Are there things in the fire department you guys do that are inertia driven rather than if you were able to do Etch a Sketch and start all over and here's the new budget year. And your houses are in place and your trucks are in place, what would you do? Are they the same things?
You know, a lot of it is because one of the most visible side of the fire department, what the people see, is when we're out and we're running the calls, we're running the incidents. You know, last year we were over 6,000 calls for service in the greater Eureka area. That's a big piece of what we do because so much of it, if it's a fire, if it's any number of things going on, we may be the only resource that deals with that. You know, on the kind of the side that isn't seen so much, maybe by the public, is like our risk reduction, our prevention bureau. You know, when we were talking in the last piece, we were talking. Some of the cannabis side, you know, we had the structure.
They've converted you. You're using the C word.
You know, that's what all the legislation says.
I know. So
I know, but
talk about the land of PC.
we've had to adjust with it as well. Like in our fire marshal Ed Laidlaw, he's really had to put a lot of work into this because all of a sudden. Less than a year ago, with the passage of Prop 64, a whole lot more started going mainstream. And that ability to try and spin up and educate on the different processes that now are coming up that are legal, you know, and like in our case, you know, currently we are in contractual services with Arcata Fire as well, so that we provide prevention services over there, and trying to, you know, Ed's had a lot of work to come up to speed on this whole, I'll say it, marijuana field. There you go, Brian. But, you know, how you go through, how you permit it, how you apply the fire code and the building code, the existing codes that are in place to be able to help guide construction and safety features to try and minimize the risk in the different aspects that can be done now legally under the law.
So there's some new stuff. What I was saying, your prevention or business awareness or whatever.
Right.
Why a fire guy? Why not send the equivalent of an office person or an administrative position that didn't require anything about knowing how to apply, but just kind of like an extension of the building or code enforcement?
You know, one of the things that I see with it, and having lived that world in the past in prevention and as the fire marshal at the time for Eureka Fire Department, is there is so much that comes from, especially from the fire inspection and the fire viewpoint when you're looking at maybe building plans, development plans, you're out in the businesses or you're working, you're doing a consultation. To have that firefighter knowledge, because you're looking at things differently than somebody that hasn't crawled through a building at 2 a.m., smoked to the floor, and hasn't experienced that, or hasn't experienced how buildings stand up to fire spread. And it brings more to it, because first and foremost, we've got to look at how do we keep our community safe? How do we keep the public safe? Somebody that's in a building, how do you line it up to get them out? Are there things that maybe the black and white of the code says, but you've got to look at it also with how's the safety go? And our prevention bureau, they look at the safety aspect for us as well. We're going into these places. You got to be able to set it up. So that really brings that you know, having that fire background, and you're in a business, somebody says, well why this? Well, I've seen this, and you know, daisy chaining the extension cords together, and we've gone to that fire. You know, the blocked exit, well, it's only blocked part of the time, or it's only locked, you know, part of the time, but there's a code section because of something bad that happened somewhere. And being able to apply that firefighter experience and knowledge to it is really helpful for people.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Chief Bill.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Bill, as you look at this summertime, are you feeling comfortable with it? We've got a couple of the large fires over in Butte and down in Santa Barbara. Is that a harbinger, or what's going on in that arena?
You know, we had a great wet winter, a lot of snow, a lot of rain, so that in a lot of the state, the drought was listed as officially over. But, you know, anybody that's this spring been mowing their lawn, you get out and about, you see the grass has grown like crazy. Well, now we're in that time of year where all that tall grass throughout the state, it's all turned brown. And it's been hot inland. It's even been, you know, I mean, it's practically been that top heat here on the coast. You know, you hear people, oh, man, it's hot. Yeah, we're in the high 60s, you know. But you go over the hill, and it is hot, and they are having a lot of fires. We've seen the fire, excuse me, over around Butte County, and you know, the last I heard last night, that one was about 75% contained. So they're getting things wrapped up there, but we've got a number of fires going in Southern California right now as well. And like, I know Cal Fire's had one or two strike teams out. One of them's been out for quite a while, and they've been bouncing back and forth. At one point, I heard they were down as far as like the Madera Mariposa area. Then they were sent back up. They were in behind Etna in the Klamath National Forest, and then Yreka. They've been in the Redding area. They've been bouncing. The last I heard, that particular strike team, the last I heard, was in Butte County on the wall fire over there.
So you have the opportunity to see all the sites of California.
Anywhere in the state.
How does that impact local?
You know, locally, it is an impact. You see one or two strike teams leave out of the Ranger unit, and each strike team's five engines are all of a sudden gone. And typically, what Cal Fire will do, they'll backfill with local government resources if they're available. And so I think right now, I think there's four local government fire engines that are spread out in the county that are covering Cal Fire stations right now. They're on hire by the state. And so they've got you know, their local government personnel on them, and they're running the calls that are toned out for those Cal Fire stations.
So not direct, but possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the board.
Exactly.
Will they use volunteers?
Yeah. Yep. As long as they're trained and certified, they'll bring. Typically, our county, you've only got a couple of fire departments that are career or are paid. The balance of them are volunteer.
Well, and is it like the National Guard kind of thing where you get pulled up and? And you go, or will they pull guys out of like the? For me, when I mm-hmm. first heard about Butte, I kind of giggled.
Yeah,
the fire academy being there. Gee, okay,
right,
duh.
Right. Well, if you've got the resources that they could use, but here locally, they'll contact the different fire departments that have said, yeah, we've got resources available, and we'll go out and you know they'll say, hey, so and so, can you staff an engine and cover this station? And if they can staff it, yeah, they'll do it. If they can't, they'll say unable to fill, UTF, and they'll go on to the next fire department. And it fluctuates.
So they'll use volunteers to backfill in where the paid guys are gone?
Yep.
Rather than pulling in volunteers and sending them down?
Exactly.
All right. We're clear. Thanks for coming
by,
bud.
All right, thanks. You bet.
Have a quiet weekend.
Hey, hopefully.
See everybody on Monday.